Good morning, everyone. Good morning. So glad to have you all here. Well, let's pray real quick. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this day. And we do say how marvelous and how wonderful you are. There is none like unto you, Father. Lord, I pray that you bless this message and that you let us have ears to hear. And we thank you for your presence here with us today, Lord. I thank you that you're here and you delight to be here with us. Every time we gather in your name, you're here, Lord. I pray that you help us to believe that. I pray that you bless your people, Lord. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Sorry, I'm a little hoarse. Well, amen. Well, last week, I spoke on giving all, for those of you that weren't here, being willing to give everything. We came out of Mark 10, which was the story of the rich young ruler. And we just told the story about how this young man, I'm sure most of you know the story, but this young man came to Christ wanting to know what it was going to take to get eternal life. And Christ responded in a way, and he said, listen, he said, just obey the Ten Commandments. Obey your parents. Don't murder, you know, the Ten Commandments. The rich young ruler was excited because he had done all those things since he was a boy. So he was like, done. I got it. I'm good. But as we spoke about last week, Christ saw something. He identified something in this rich young man's heart that I think the rich young ruler already knew about himself. But Christ identified it nonetheless and exposed it. And he said, well, there is one thing that I want you to do. And that is, I want you to sell everything that you own and give it to the poor. Then you can come follow me. And what happened? He went away sad. He went away sad. Christ wants it all. He wants everything in us. And what he specifically wants is to take away anything that would hinder you from following him. How many of you know we all have something that's hindering us from giving 100% today? To giving ourselves to him fully. We all have something. I guarantee you. The question is, are we willing to let Christ identify that as in us? Are we willing to let him identify whatever it is in us that's holding us back from being able to fully give him everything? And then to take it a step further, not just identify it, but are we willing to let him heal it? Are we willing to give it to him freely? Because as I said last week, he's not going to just take it. He's not the type of God that's going to come in and just rip it out of you. He's gentle and he's kind. And he's waiting for you to give it. It means nothing if he has to take it. He wants you to give it. He wants you to submit it to him. But Christ has called us to give everything. I was thinking last week, and I said it last week, and that is, how many times have I walked away sad because I was unwilling to give him all things? I talked about commitment. A lot of times I think in my life, I think I've given him everything, but then when he asked me to actually commit to something in him, I resist. And I said, why do we resist giving God everything, knowing that he knows us better than we know ourselves? He loves us more than we could ever imagine. And yet we think we can do better with our stuff. We think we can do better. Or, like the rich young ruler, we're afraid that if we give it to him, that it's going to cause us a lot of difficulty. This was a big thing for me, this part here, because I'm giving God a lot of things in my life, I think. But then there's certain things that I'm afraid that if I actually gave to him, it's going to cause me a lot of trouble, a lot of difficulty. And I was talking about, I had lunch with Sterling the week before I preached this message, and we were talking about commitment, and I said, why is it that we think that it's going to be so much trouble? Anything else in my life that I've given to God, he's made it easy. He's made it wonderful. He's made it just, you know, so smooth and easy. Outside, externally, it can be chaotic, but inwardly, I have peace now because I've given him everything. Or I've committed everything to him. It's only in the times when you're lukewarm, when you're not for sure giving him all things, or this certain circumstance that you struggle, because then he can't really deal with you. God can't deal with lukewarmness. Neither can I, neither can anybody. You can't deal with somebody who's in the middle. God says, you're all the way in or you're all the way out. You're giving it all or you're keeping it all, but you're not going to be in the middle. He just can't deal with that. And like I said, you can't either. When you know somebody that's like that, that is in the middle somewhere, that's in limbo, they're no fun to deal with. You want somebody who's either in or out. Bill taught us a long time ago, lead, follow, or get out of the way. I think that's such a great message. It's such a great message. But Christ wants us to give it all. Are we willing to let Christ identify the things in our life that are holding us back from being able to follow Him fully? And then let Him heal. The ruler was afraid. He was afraid that if he gave his wealth up, that his life would be tough. That's a human normal condition. I mean, if you give up anything, if you feel like it's your safety, that is your ground that you stand on, obviously you're going to be worried about getting it. But how many of you know, Scripture says that His yoke is easy, and His burden is light, and if you just give it to Me, it's going to be so much better than you ever thought it was. Don't be afraid to commit anything you have to God. He will make it better than what it is now. Amen? Do you believe that? If you think about your past, I said this last week, if you think about your past, and we've all had tough things that we had to give to God, but if you think about your past, has there been anything that you've given Him that didn't become beautiful in time? Is there anything that He failed you on? If there is, I would suggest it probably wasn't Him that failed. But anything we put into His hands, He makes beautiful. And it becomes better than what it was. Well, pushing forward here and staying in Mark, let's turn to Mark 10:35. And today we're going to talk about service. Serving. How many of you know Christ was a servant? So let's turn to Mark. It's just on the same page as the rich young ruler. I just read on and felt like God gave me a message here. I'm going to actually start a little bit earlier in 32 just to kind of tie a story together. So y'all read with me. This is about Christ. It says, they were on their way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way. And the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. That's an interesting line. Again, he took the 12 aside and he told them, he said, what was going to happen to him. He said, we're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him, spit on him, flog him, kill him. 3 days later, he will rise. So he just told his disciples this, and here's their response. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him, and they said, Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus said. They replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other on your left in your glory. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? We can, they replied. Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with, but to sit at my right and my left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. And Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to be served. I'm sorry, but to serve. And to give his life as a ransom for many. Amen. Every time I read these stories about Christ and his disciples, I just marvel again at his patience and his kindness. If you put yourself in his position, I can't imagine telling y'all that I'm going to die. I just want you to know I'm going to die. And then I even express to you how I'm going to die. I'm going to be spit on, flogged. And you come back with me with that? Give me whatever I want? That's the wording in that is hilarious. He said, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came in and said, "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." And instead of rantly responding back, "Listen to me," Jesus said, "What is it? What can I do for you?" There's so many great stories in Scripture about this. When Jesus was on his way to the cross, and people interrupted saying, "Give me, give me." And he was still kind and gentle and patient. And he gave them what they asked for. He healed them. He set them free. He encouraged them. What a guy. He was a servant. He came to serve. He chose to be a servant. I think it's interesting. I've said this many times before, but it's just so interesting to me to think when the Father was creating Christ or however it worked, and they were together and they decided how they were going to come into the world. And they were trying to think about the best way to draw us to them. And they chose this Jesus Christ. They chose what he was going to be like, and they chose him to be a servant, to be humble. I just think that's fascinating to me. I've said it before, he could be Superman. He could be the King of Kings in a way that we think of the King of Kings. Zeus, you know, flying in on a cloud, destroying everything if he wanted to. How amazing is it that God thought that the best way to reach us and to teach us was to be a servant and to be humble and kind? What that tells us is what he thinks that we should be to each other and to the world. I think often we think that success is going to be what draws people in, or the way we carry ourselves, or whatever, how much of the Scripture we know. But the truth is, if the thing that draws people, according to the way Jesus lived the most, was the way that he lived his life in service and in humility and kindness. But he could have chose anything. He could have been anything. And he chose to be a servant. He served everybody that he came across, Jesus did. All through the Scriptures, I think it's fascinating. Again, he served the rich. He served the poor. He served the wise. He served the uneducated. He served everybody. There was nobody off limits for Christ to serve. He served the Pharisees. He served the disciples, the people that loved him, the people that hated him. He served everybody because it wasn't an act that he was doing. That's who he was. It was in his heart, his lifestyle. It was a lifestyle of service all the way to his last breath. All the way to his last breath, he was serving us. I find it harder to serve. I was thinking about this for myself, at least. It's harder for me to serve wealthy people than it is poor people. If I could say that, I just feel like it's just like, you don't need me. You know, you don't really need my service. You've got everything you need. But Christ served wealthy people. We just saw it with the rich young ruler. What did it say about him? He said he looked at him and loved him. He wasn't turned off that he was probably pompous and this, you know, young man with a bunch of money, it seemed like. He wasn't turned off by that at all. And he loved poor people too. I think of Mary Magdalene coming in and washing his feet. And he loved her and served her. He served everybody. Like I said, I can serve some people better than others. But he could serve everyone, or he did serve everyone. So because he was a servant, and he lives in us, we too should be servants. In a practical way. It's a good question to ask yourself, I did myself, is, have you been serving? Have you been serving anybody? If he really lives in you, and he really lives in me, then that's going to be part of our lives as we're going to serve. Amen? So ask yourself the question, do you serve people? Do you serve them with no expectation? Do you take the time out to give to people your time and your effort? And how about this? The scripture goes a little further. It says to serve your enemies. So, not just the people that you love, but what about your enemies? Can you do that? Can we do that? Christ served everyone. He was a servant in his heart. In his heart. And he lived within us. Well, I want to talk just for a couple of points about service real quick out of the scripture here. I want to say godly service is first for God and then for people's sake. It's as unto the Lord. True service, godly service, is unto the Lord. Say it with me. It's as unto the Lord. It's unto the Lord. Let's turn over to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, 5 through 9. Paul says, slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is a slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there's no favoritism in him. It's a great scripture. So we serve God, we serve people as unto the Lord. Scripture says right there, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord and not men. Your service is never in vain if it is unto the Lord. Serving God is unto the Lord, and serving people is unto the Lord, I should say. You can't go wrong. It safeguards you. I was saying this before. The service to the brothers about services. I've literally had brothers in Christ and sisters for that matter that have fallen away from God completely, forever most likely, because they serve somebody with expectations of getting something in return. Or it looks more like this. They serve people in this body for a long time, and later on they were in a struggle and the people didn't respond in the way that they felt they should have. And it hurt. And that's natural. It does hurt when that happens. But when you're serving as unto the Lord, it safeguards you, because then you're not worried about anybody coming back and giving you what you think you deserve. Listen, that's a harsh thing that I'm saying. I know that there's people in here probably that have benefited in this very way. And they'd say, Brantley, you don't understand. And maybe I don't understand your circumstance. But I'm just telling you, as unto the Lord, if you're serving as unto the Lord, it safeguards you, and you're not looking for anything in response, not immediately and not ever down the road. If it was truly for God. I had a good friend that left and went to go serve as a missionary, and he got hurt while he was over there because the people weren't all cracked up to what he thought they were going to be, and he came back. And he said, after everything I've done for those people, and they weren't good back to me. And I remember thinking, but didn't you go over there for God? And not people. Now we're all subject to being hurt like this. And I'm not belittling it. I've been hurt like this, you have, I'm sure. That's why I'm teaching it up here. We have to serve as unto the Lord. If you do this, you never have to be afraid. You never have to be afraid of giving yourself. By the way, this works for giving money. All kinds of giving. It's all supposed to be as unto the Lord. All of it. You never have to be afraid of tithing or giving a donation to something and worry so much about where that money is going as long as it's as unto the Lord. If you trust that He owns all things, that He can move that money around wherever He wants to put it in the kingdom of God. Now, I'm not saying don't be wise. You don't want to just give to something foolish. But I'm just saying you don't have to be afraid. And in the same way, you can serve people and not be afraid of getting hurt if you do it as unto the Lord. Amen? Amen? That's a good safeguard for not getting offended. No expectations when we do, when we serve. Godly service is serving people in the way that they need to be served and not the way that you want to serve them. I'm going to say that again. Real godly service is serving people in the way they need to be served and not the way you want to serve them. I have a tendency to want to serve people in the things that I'm good at. Let me come fix your air conditioner. You know, I can do that, you know. I remember years ago, I've told the story, but years ago there was a guy that worked for Eric Loper, my old boss, and he came to work with me, and his whole life was a wreck. I mean, this poor guy's whole life was a wreck. And he grew up hard and grew up, you know, mean, and I was trying to help him. I was very young. This is in my 20s. And I remember trying to help him, and I felt like that I could help him get his life in order if I made him a financial budget. And, which is hilarious because I'm not the best with money myself, but I thought I could help him with a financial budget. And every day I told him I was going to make him one. And finally I made him one and I came over to his house. And that day he said, hey, I was about to give it to him. And he said, hey, will you help me fix my car? His car was broke down. Oh, I'm not good at working on cars, you know, and I had this budget made. I was excited to give some, and I was like, well, no, but I got a budget for it. I said, I don't know how to work on cars, but I got a budget, you know, and he just took it and kind of tossed it in the car, like, thanks, you know. So I left. The next day I dropped him off. He didn't have a car because it was broke down, and I had to take him home every day. And so I took him home again. He said, will you help me fix my car? And I was like, good time, you know, I'm sorry. I can't today. On the third day, I remember saying no again, and I drove away, and I felt like God said, go back and serve that guy in the way that he needs it. I was pouting because I had given him something that I thought was the best way to serve him. That's not what he needed. You understand? That's not what he wanted. That's not what he needed. He wanted me to help him. Even if I didn't know how to do it, he just wanted an extra set of hands. And when I got under the car with him, I realized he knew how to do it. He just wanted me to help hold it between the missions. So I did it. But I mean, it took me days to do that. And I was pouting because I was like, I remember telling Lee, I was like, I made this guy a budget. He didn't even care, you know. Serve people. Real godly service is serving them in what they need, not just what you want to do. It's good godly service. Godly service is not always fun or pleasant or even in your wheelhouse. But real godly service is giving. And it, like I said, it might be something that you don't even know how to do, but you're going to try. As unto the Lord. As unto the Lord, you're going to try. Christ died on the cross. That wasn't very enjoyable either. But he served us in that way. Godly service is a lifestyle. I've kind of gone over this again. Service and serving should just be should be in every aspect of our life. It should be not only in the church, but it should be in the workplace. The people should look at you and know that you're a servant. You want to be known as a servant. That's an honorable thing if you're a Christian. You know, I constantly forget that I am in the service industry. Like, I know that's silly, but that's kind of the title of my business, is I'm in the service industry. And I get reminded of this every time I think about service, but I was thinking, you know, we're all in the service industry. No matter what we do for a living, we're all in the service industry. But we have to learn how to serve at work. You know, I remember Charles Simpson teaching when he was a young boy. This is such a great story. He said, my dad got me a job with a butcher. And he said, and I went there to butcher for the first day on the job. And he said, and I had two or three of my friends. And at the end of the day, he said, we left and the guy paid us. And I didn't get paid. And he said the other guys were sitting there, they got, you know, a dollar or two, whatever it was, back in like 40 or something. And he said he went home and told his dad, and he said, "Dad, you know, everybody else got paid, but I didn't get paid." And he said, "Oh yeah, I told him not to pay you." And Charles said, "What? Why would you do that?" He said, "You're gonna work for him all summer and not get paid." And Charles was livid. He said, as a kid, I was livid. He said, "I couldn't believe it." I said, "Dad, I'm not working for this guy all summer and not getting paid." And he said, "My dad got upset with me," and he said, "You ought to pay him for teaching you how to work." And he said, "Teaching you a trade." And Charles said, "That was the most ridiculous thought, you know, that I could have ever thought of." And he said, "But later on in life," he said, "I was butchering, making a lot of money, and I realized that my dad was right." It's easy to see this, or easy to have the mentality that we have this right to get all these things. But learning to serve like Christ did, again, with no expectation, at the very least, we can go to work every day grateful that we have God. That we have something, that we have the opportunity to serve. How about being a servant at your workplace and you get paid? What if it's a double? These are hard things, I know, because we feel like that we're just owed so much. I feel like I'm owed so much. I was dealing with a customer this week. The whole reason for this sermon was this last week, my boys worked for me, so they know what I'm talking about. We dealt with a very difficult customer. And he was very defensive from day one. I didn't understand. Just one of those guys, you know, I got into the job, I sold him the job, got it, was excited about it. I do heating and air for a living, if you didn't know. And so it's just, but it was a tough job, really hard attic to work in. And day one, he was defensive with me. He wanted a duck over here and couldn't get it. He was unhappy with me. And he told me, he's like, "I'm very disappointed in this." And I was like, "I'm sorry, man. I told you from day one we couldn't get it." Anyway, so I was getting defensive. And here we are on day three, and I was dreading to go to this job because every day it felt like that he was just, you know, hammering me. And I thought, my first thought was, "I'm going to put my foot down today. So now I'm going to put my foot down. I'm not going to do anything else for this guy." Extra. And instead I felt like, actually what I did after that was I prayed and asked God to let me find favor in his eyes. And in response to that, God said, "Serve him and give him whatever he wants today." And so I went back there with that mentality. And he still bossed me around and was rude and asking for things that weren't originally on the quote. But my service to him, when I talked to him he asked me to run this bin over to the Eve, something that we didn't have anything to do with. And I just said, "Okay, I'll do it." And I could tell it lowered his defensiveness. And then again, he asked me to do something else, and I just said, "Okay, I'll do it." And, you know, that day, I just kind of gave him what he wanted. But how many of you know, it was as unto the Lord. I wasn't getting taken advantage of. Christ said, "Nobody takes my life from me. I lay it down on my own accord." Listen, that's a cringy thing for me to say. me and my work and Christ laying his life down. But it is applicable. Because my point being, it's not that hard to do what I was doing on the job side. But I'm just trying to say, when people see that you have a servant heart, things change. Your boss will look at you different knowing that you're willing to serve. The reason why we buck and we get so upset is we feel like we're being taken advantage of, right? Isn't that true? We feel like we're being taken advantage of. This was not in my job description. Well, how about you carry it 2 miles instead of just one? That's what we're called to. That's what Christ did. He went above and beyond in his service. Christ only had to do so much. He didn't have to do everything he did. He could have came down and died and went back to heaven. He did so much more for us. He taught us how to live. He brought us to the Father and showed us the Father. There's so much more. That's what I keep thinking when I was thinking about, I was proud of myself for serving that guy. I felt like God said, "There's so much more. You don't have a clue. You don't have a clue. I can take you to the brink of service." I hope he doesn't. I hope he doesn't. But he went all the way to the point where he's hanging on the cross saying, "Father, with his last breath. That's true service, you know. Finally, the reward for service is between you and God. And there is a reward. There is a reward. It's kind of a common theme to me that I've been seeing in the scripture. There's a reward for serving him. And he doesn't always tell you exactly what it is, but there is a reward. It's between you and God. And he is the reward. He is. Being like him is the reward. Joining with him is the reward. It's the only thing that we're getting is going to give you peace, rest in your spirit, and joy. And nobody can take that from you. Amen? Amen. You get to be like your Savior. Well, may God help us to serve wholeheartedly and give him all things. Not resist him, knowing that he loves us and wants to help us in everything we do. I want our church to be known as a church of servants. I want to be known as a servant, just like my Savior. Amen? Amen. Y'all stand up and let me pray for you real quick. Lord, I thank you that you are willing to give everything for us. I thank you, Lord, that Christ didn't just tell us to be servants, but he was a servant himself. He gave his life as a ransom for me. We thank you this morning for Jesus Christ, who leads the way for us and forgives us all of our sins. I pray, Father, that you'll help us to be like him in our lives and every day, Father, that we'll be known as servants and a people willing to serve when nobody else will, that you'll help us to be willing to serve and do it in a way that is for the people, not for ourselves, as unto you. Bless your people, Lord. Let them have a good week this week, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you, guys.